I'm doing this sermon because it's close to the Thanksgiving day, and also I've been promoting this theme throughout this year, and this is my number 6 sermon on the year of gratitude. I didn't have much chance to focus on that year of gratitude theme, but today I'm going to conclude my sermon series on the gratitude with the title of Overflowing with Thankfulness. Overflowing with gratitude is a sure sign of mature Christian. Do you want to know whether your faith in Christ is mature or not? Check this out yourself. Am I overflowing with thankfulness? Likewise, overflowing with ungratefulness is a sure sign of immature Christian. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by overflowing. Imagine that you are headed out to work one morning, and most of us retired here, but let's say back those days. Of course, you are one of those folks who need coffee in the morning to start the day. How many of you? Well, so you will, okay, some of them, 2 hands up. So you are, even today, a Starbucks fan. So you walk into the store to get a cup of coffee of your choice. The smell of your favorite coffee begins to wake you up. You slowly take a sip, and it tastes heavenly. It is so good. Then something happens. On your way out, someone coming in to the store by accident bumps into you. And alas, you spill your coffee, all of it. Well, thank God it wasn't that hot, but the coffee in your hand spilled over, all over on you, on the other person as well, and all of it. Now that's the image of overflowing, something full to the brim inside a cup, and when something bumps into it, and somebody bumps into it, it just overflows. That's the image. Let me tell you this, as you and I live out our own faith, whatever we have inside of us, in our hearts and minds, something strikes us, people, relationships, whatever, then it's bound to spill over from us. It could be hate, you know, anger, you know, you've seen those folks. But let me tell you this, wouldn't it be wonderful as someone bumps into us and just discovers that faith, thankfulness, and gratitude is coming out of us. But let me tell you one thing. Whatever we have in our hearts, it gives away what kind of believer we are. Now imagine you ran into a friend at ShopRite, and she's been a believer in Christ for years, and after a few minutes of conversation... Oh, by the way, ShopRite is a great place to go. Whenever I go, I almost see 1 or 2 members of our church. So after a few minutes of catching up with each other, you begin to notice something different in her. And somehow her words and her attitude catch your attention. And she's, in fact, told you that going through chemotherapy for cancer. Yet you notice that she does not complain at all, either to God or to anybody. In fact, you are quietly shocked to see her calmness and peace, considering what she's going through. And she even thanked God for her cancer because she says it sets her priorities straight. She used to say, you know, believe that money is everything, but not money is everything now. And her words of gratitude begin to overflow from her. And frankly, you're so impressed with her attitude of gratitude that you want to be like her. And you want to find out the secrets of her peace and calmness and the secrets of her attitude of gratitude. Well, sadly, the story, the scenario I just shared with you seems rather a remote possibility. to most of us. In reality, we encounter more often than we wish our brothers and sisters in Christ who often whine and complain about things in life. Now, certain words that come out of their mouths or their attitude on life in general make us even wonder about them being a believer in Christ, let alone we want to be like them. Now, let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I went to the, we call, annual conference, this annual gathering of all these Methodists, you know, once a year in Wildwood. So I was helping the annual conference, and I served as usher. So my job at the time was to direct the hungry crowd, over 1,000 people, you know, half clergy and half laity, to their lunch tables. And as soon as the door opened, people started, you know, coming in. And in the auditorium, there are over 100 tables were set up. Each table has, you know, 10 chairs around. So it's a big crowd. So the door opened and the rush began. And for a better traffic, we were advised, all the ushers, to direct the first comers to the tables at the farthest corners of the auditorium. Okay? So, when I did that, you know, waving my hands, folks, go all the way back, whatever. Most of them were cooperative. But occasionally, as you imagine, some individuals clearly let me know. They were very, very unhappy, saying that, why can't I sit right here? We have tables. I'm perfectly capable of, you know, people who could walk. Now, put yourself in there. One of the people just rushed into the room. Had you been one of the people guided by me at the time, would you have been thankfully following my directions to walk another 50 yards to the corner so that everyone else would be served on time, or would you have been one of those whiners? Now let us bring Jesus Christ here. Imagine you had a privilege of accompanying him one day. Standing next to him, you watch everything he does. And you also hear all the wonderful lessons directly from Jesus. And at the end of the day, you're on your way home. And you think about the entire day. And especially about Jesus. What kind of person Jesus is and was. And you try to use one word or two to describe him, Jesus. And which word would you choose? Let me give you a few examples. Grace, love, compassion, wisdom, miracle worker, teacher, even righteous anger and justice. You choose. Now, all of us may have no trouble coming up with one or two images of Jesus right away. But you know what? Seldom, in my humble opinion, we would catch the image of Jesus, the grateful. The Jesus who was overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, three things comes to my mind when it comes down to Jesus, the grateful. First of all, his prayers at the Last Supper. Yes, you heard me right. The supper that Jesus had the night before he was crucified, and it was the first Eucharist, first communion, and first Lord's Supper ever in history that he initiated with his disciples. What he did after the meal, he broke the bread at the table with words of thanks to God. Now the second image comes to my mind is this, when he fed the crowds of over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, once again, do you know what he did? Before he gave the food to the crowd, he held up the bread to heaven and broke it with grace. So whenever we say, let's say grace before the meal, Jesus originated that one, saying grace. That literally means thanking God for the bread. Now the third image that comes to my mind is this. He thanked God in advance for answering his prayers. In John 11:41, he says, he lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. What was the occasion? Right after saying this, thanks to God, he raised Lazarus, the dead. Now, may I say, upon all these three examples in the Bible, that Jesus' life and prayers were filled with thanksgiving to God? I thought about what made Jesus so thankful. And the scripture says, because his relationship was deeply rooted in God. You know, I often think about my relationship with Jesus and with God like a tree. The scripture says, be sure that your relationship with God deeply rooted in Jesus. I want you to think of yourself. If you say, I'm a tree, how deep your root is. Ordinary times wouldn't tell, but like a storm comes through, you see that all the trees are rooted. You see that some of them are really shallow. Because Jesus was rooted in his relationship with God, and God also loved him dearly and well pleased with Jesus, the scripture says. And Jesus loved his Father back with the same love. He loved God so much that obeying God was never a duty, but a delight. He pleased his Heavenly Father by doing what God commanded him to do, and it brought Jesus a great joy. And all the more did he all the things that are pleasing to the Lord in heaven. And of course, due to his reverent obedience to God, the scripture says, God answered the prayers of Jesus. So when Jesus received the answers from God for his prayers, he was more thankful. And in turn, more thanks from Jesus to God made God more pleased with his Son. And that brought forth more answers to prayers. I hope you see the cycle. You begin with thanksgiving, and God, you know, see your gratitude and answer your prayers more. And then, you know, you're more thankful, and so on. The cycle of gratitude continued. Therefore, I can easily say that Jesus' life overflowed with gratitude in every way, in every word he said and in everything he did. And naturally, I believe, it rubbed off on everyone around him at the time. So should it, don't you think, today on us, Jesus' followers? And that's why I say that the attitude of gratitude is a sure sign of Christ's followers. By knowing Jesus, we imitate him in our words and actions, and that one of the things that we do is gratitude. And by being grateful, we honor our Heavenly Father. And by being ungrateful, we dishonor him. With gratitude, we move one step closer to God, and with ungratefulness, we move one step away from God. As for closing, I will say this. I'm sure all of us want to, you know, overflow with gratitude. But you need to fill in first with, you know, gratitude in your heart and in your life. And also, I want to point out that you don't become a thankful and grateful person overnight either. Like anything else, we need practice. So here's my advice. Just say a prayer every morning that you want to do God's will, right? And more specifically, you want to be thankful for all things, both good and bad, because it's God's will for you. So here's the action plan I recommend all of you to try. And it helped me tremendously, and I've been doing this for at least 5 years now. I wonder, everyone will start our day by counting 20 things that you are both grateful and thankful for. Now, I make a very specific distinction between two words, grateful and thankful, even though most of us think that it's the same thing. Grateful, I would say, you are really grateful for something good you would consider. And I would say thankful means that even though you don't particularly like why it's there in your life, you'll still be thankful. And I explained to you the difference between, you know, grateful and thankful before. Anyway, so I recommend you to start your day with small things that you are grateful for and gradually increase to big things, up to 20 things. And I would call this practice .20, D-O-T 20. That means the doing of thankings for 20 things. Now this is what I do every morning. I give thanks to God, first of all, because I need to count 20 things. 10 things I am grateful for and 10 things that I am thankful for. I begin with, Lord, thank you so very much for giving me life today, another day. I'm sure all of you feel the same way. And second thing is that thank you, Lord, for this health that you've given me. And I count, you know, my faith and my food and shelter and clothing and family and my church, and it goes on for 10 things. Each individual is different. And then when everything good is counted, then I move on to not so good things. And you may call them bad things, okay? Now, despite my feelings, I want to make sure that I stay thankful according to God's will. God's will says that you want to know what God's will for you? Be thankful in all circumstances. That's what I am talking about. So I'm not saying that it is easy to be thankful for bad things in life, and I'm not even saying that, oh, thank God, because this is such a bad thing happened. Oh, by the way, to practice what I preach, this morning I was in my office, and I was turning around the corner. I banged my leg to the corner of my desk. And guess what words I said? Thank God! I did. Okay, so you got my point. But let me tell you the example of why do I count so not so good things in my life. Now, true story. There was a young man who was angry man, actually. He was abused when he was young by his father. And he said to me, as of today still, I will never ever forgive my father. I will never talk to him. I mean, an angry man to begin with. And I had the privilege to marry him, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago. And he wanted to have a family, means that a child. It didn't happen for his 2 years. Guess what? From the day one, and I got to know him, Lord, just be with him. And, you know, I pray for the child and whatnot. And he was angry. Why, Lord? If Pastor Chua, you told me that if I go to church, whatever, God will bless me, and I want to have a child of my own, and my wife is not able to get, you know, pregnant and all this thing. Why? Keep just sending me all these angry messages. So what do? He was on that not so good things. I'm not particularly concerned about his angry part, but Lord, wouldn't you just grant him his wish so that he'll see that when he, you know, follows Lord, he'll be blessed what he wants. And I had done this for about 2 years, 3 years actually, until this year. I got a text. I actually called from the wife saying that, Pastor Choi, I'm pregnant. Now they tried IVF, you know, in vitro fertilization and everything, and that's why they were so mad. Why it didn't happen until it happened this one. So what I'm saying, if you include some not so good things in your thing, and what do? Thank you, Lord. I don't understand why this happens. It's still in my life, or not happened yet, but I trust in you. Two things you do when you include the bad things in your thankfulness. Number one, you trust in God's good will. And the good God who makes all things, both good and bad, beautiful in due time. And second, by being thankful for all things, you learn to glorify God's name. God says, do you still trust me? Can you still be thankful? And that's your test before you say, Lord, I am determined to be thankful, even not so good for the bad things. So my prayer for all of us this morning is this. May God make all of us overflow with thankfulness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, to me, Christianity is always practical. God doesn't want us to be, or perhaps He wants some of us to be like Paul and Peter, who's so great at words of wisdom and words of God, spreading the gospel all over the world. But the rest of us, 99% of us, God wants us to live in some corner, quietly. But one thing you expect every child of yours is to overflow with gratitude. Help us, Lord, be thankful, grateful for good things, and even thankful for not so good things, that we truly represent the Christ whom we call Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.